Hi, welcome to Outrageous, our usually bi-weekly podcast where we talk about race, politics, culture, and everything in between. We are doing a special episode right now to talk about the Democratic and Republican National Conventions, which just concluded. And as usual, I'm joined by my two very best friends, Jason in Baltimore. Whoa, not Baltimore, D.C. Jason, you're in D.C.
Yeah, just this hasn't been that long, so you're excused. And I'm still spending most of my time in Baltimore.
But... Trisha, and you're in Las Vegas? No, Trisha's in Los Angeles. So right before we started recording, we were talking about the fact that none of us have seen the Republican National Convention, but we feel very comfortable having opinions about it. So, anyone, let's start with that one, because at this point it was the first one that happened in Cleveland. Thoughts, general ideas? I mean, we all saw clips on Facebook and other social media, right? What did you think?
My initial thought now is, well, now this is my thinking, is that that was a really small convention in terms of the staging and the people that showed up. That was not a convention for the Republican or for the GOP. It was essentially anyone that Donald Trump could put on the stage in comparison. Well, you know what I mean?
Scott, like, Bayo.
Yeah, you know, like, you look at it and you think to yourself, where was the party? Really, where was that party?
Well, that is a great question. Where was that party? And it wasn't a Republican convention.
No.
It was a Trump propaganda, right? Orgasmic orgy.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, it seems that, and you know, I didn't watch it as it happened. I've seen lots of clips and heard lots of commentary. It seems that it was exactly what you would expect, knowing that so many leaders of the party and members of the party are not aligned with him. So it was a ridiculous series of talking points and poorly managed moments, and it just seems exactly what Donald Trump has been. What is amazing to me, but consistent with this whole campaign on his side, is that, one, there were so many snafus and just moments that seemed so poorly executed, and yet they did exactly what they did for Trump, exactly what everything does, which is kept him in the news, made him the narrative, and in the end, it was a boost for him, as conventions typically are, apparently. But, you know, I'm watching, I'm like, just like, again, the way I felt throughout this whole campaign is like, oh my God, after that, there's got to be a decrease in popularity. And yet, no. There was yet again an increase in popularity.
Well, he got a bump, but Hillary got a bigger bump from her convention.
And she also got more ratings, which I would not have expected. That I thought was that I did not predict.
That's the thing that is really going to rile Trump.
It's
not
going to
be about the poll points. You know what? He probably cares less about the bump because, let's be honest, he doesn't want to be president. But like, the fact that she got more ratings is really going to send him into a tailspin. Because that's always his thing, right?
He said that he wasn't really the producer of it. He's already commented on the...
He's already passed the buck.
He was just simply a participant in it. If it was wholly his conception, which clearly it was, because look at the people who he invited. I mean, what I find really intriguing is, okay, you put this convention on, and clearly it's not a convention where the party chose to participate. You know, no major party stars showed up, aside from
Paul Ryan,
Rudy Giuliani, and the one who got up there and actually like dropped the mic and was like, I don't
Ted
know.
Cruz.
Ted Cruz. who essentially used it as a kind of second coming out, where he's just like, hey, I'm just thinking about the future, people, and vote your conscience, which enraged people. That seemed to, because, you know, it's like anytime you sort of call to Trump's supporters to check themselves or consider what it is that they're really about, they get really upset. So that was just a simply enraging comment from his end. But the question for me then is, like, if you have a convention like that, why don't you have sort of whole hog rejection of him from party leadership then? Not this kind of passive, oh, I'm not showing up, but like wholesale rejection. Wholesale rejection and repudiation of his ideas, like the Khan family is asking.
What? Oh, the Khan family.
The Khan family, the soldier.
The soldier's father and mother who spoke at the DNC.
DNC. They're asking for public repudiation of Trump, like a full rejection from that GOP platform.
Let's give credit to one person. Kasich did it.
Kasich has done it. Kasich has come
and
out.
And did it during the convention. I mean, he did it.
After the DNC convention, though, like, Hillary's gotten, I think, a 10 to 15 point bump, and a lot of those are Republicans, because, if I can just spin gears and talk about the DNC for a second, media is going nuts about how Republican the Democratic National Convention was, in that, given that Trump's convention was all about Trump, they've completely abandoned certain concepts that the Democrats were quick to snatch up, such as family values, patriotism, war.
Security. Like,
security. Things that the Democrats don't usually tout at their convention were now fair game. And so a lot of this Republicans for Hillary thing has begun. I think that's what a lot of her bump is. It's going to be interesting going forward. I think more people will repudiate Trump because he's an odious, terrible psychopath, and he can't see it, so he can't stop it. And the things that he said about the Khan family were disgusting. And this is, you know, say what you want about Muslims. Sometimes I feel like in this country, our militarism and the ideas we have about our veterans and our soldiers trump a lot of things. And the fact that he went after them like that is really going to hurt him. And he doesn't even see it, because all he can see is like, no, I have to hate Muslims, because these people are Muslims, so I can attack them. You don't attack the military. You don't attack the people who send their children off to die for the country. There's no winning there. There's no winning. And he doesn't even know it.
I would just like to say, hey, there are a few things that you've said, Chris, that I'm not sure about. And I don't strongly disagree, because I just don't know. I am not so sure he doesn't want to be president. He's doing a very good job of getting a lot of, of being very strong in the polls for someone who doesn't want to be president. And, you know, I think for myself, I keep checking myself, because for the past whatever year, it feels like there have been things that he's done that I'm like, okay, this is surely, you know, going to be a problem, where in retrospect, it wasn't. And so, things that I would predict would be problematic for him in terms of his popularity have not been. And so you're saying, you know, he just did something that's going to hurt him. I'm not so sure. He keeps defying those predictions. And two, I'm not so sure he's a psychopath. I mean, he's strategically, he's been very, very effective at building a ton of support. And so, like, you know, even the Cruz thing, like, there are some people who say, like, oh, that was such a misstep on his part. And then others who said, no, it's exactly what Trump shows, that, like, in the midst of chaos, he can still prevail. Similarly, this past week with the DNC, there have been people who have said, oh, this thing you said about Russia calling on Russian hackers to find these emails, that was such a mistake. And yet, I heard some commentators say, well, what it did is it kept him in the headlines during the DNC. Like, normally during the other party's convention, you're just absent. And he found a way to still be on the front page. I hope you're right about what you've said. I hope he doesn't want to be president. I hope it does hurt him. But that stuff has not proven true previously.
I think the fact that he's positioned to be president doesn't necessarily reflect on the fact that he wants to be. He doesn't act like someone who wants to be president. And maybe
what does that
I
mean?
Should, he doesn't. Yeah, maybe act I should like... drink. I should drink. Drill down deeper. He doesn't seem to have any real thoughts or ideas about moving the country anywhere. He doesn't have any policy ideas. Now, say what you want about the last four or five presidents. They certainly had an idea of what they wanted the country to look like, and they had a way to get there. And sometimes it was bombastic, like a constitutional amendment to make marriage between one man and one woman, and we understood what that was, appealing to a base. But speaking about George Bush, like, he had an agenda. Trump has zero agenda. He's got no raison d'etre. He doesn't have a plan. So that's what makes me think he doesn't really want to be president. He doesn't have a vision. Now,
I think, can I interrupt the want to be president thing? First, I think that one of the ways that he apparently approached his VPs was that he asked them if they would be willing to lead from behind the scenes while he was sort of
the figurehead. Yeah.
And so that's probably a clear indication that he doesn't want to be president, essentially. However, he is the GOP nominee. He does have pride. He feels like he's going to have to still stay in the race. Let's talk about, for a second, can we just ask the question, how can you perceive the GOP party as a party of strength when you essentially have someone come in and took over your party.
Oh yeah, no, they're totally.
Like, I mean,
weak.
Can we ask that
they're totally
base question? You know what I mean? Like,
they're on the brink of collapse. I think there's no question about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a person who
some real soul searching.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, your point is correct, Tris, in the sense that I think he's performance-wise, he's surprised he's even in the running for president. And then when he sought to find a VP, he said, listen, I'm just going to keep saying these ideas, but you can run things behind the scene. And we've seen that already, because the assumption is that that's what happened during the Bush-Cheney presidency, right? During the Bush-Cheney era, was that Cheney was essentially the person behind the scenes making most of the things happen. So it can and does happen. So, so in some ways, we should actually probably be paying attention to Pence and his ideas, because he actually has a history.
No, well, that's a very good point. And you know, even, I don't know if you saw this, Kasich claims, and there's dispute, but he claims that he was offered the vice presidency and told he could be in charge of domestic and international policy.
Yeah, that's what he's reporting.
But I don't know. First of all, I would just say, I just want to be clear, I don't know what he wants, and I'll never claim to know what he wants. I don't know if he's ever surprised, and I will never claim to know whether he's surprised, because I don't know what goes on in his head. I do think it's possible, just because he doesn't have an agenda, I mean, he may want to be president not to enact an agenda, but just as he has done throughout his career, to have his name, you know, in the brightest of lights.
Yeah.
There are leaders around the world whom we could name that aren't taking their country anywhere, but fight like hell to be in power.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It is possible that just like Trump wants his name on every building and on stakes companies and whatever, he wants to be President Trump in terms of what that makes him feel and the prestige that comes with it, not because he wants to enact an agenda.
Now,
and also, but he's also breaking all the other rules, Chris, if we think about this, because all of the sort of checks in this process that would have allowed us to prevent someone like Trump from even getting this far is constantly being assailed, right? He has yet to release his tax documents. That was just a given. Now the question is, do candidates need to release that? I mean, that wasn't even a question before. And then the second thing that's emerged out of the DNC is his recognition that he cannot debate Hillary Clinton. So now I'm seeing sort of language around how can Trump figure out a way to avoid actually having debates.
Let's shift to talk about, let's spend the rest of the time talking about the DNC and some of the things that were presented there. What did you guys think about the DNC, specifically the Obama's speeches?
Well, they were the best. I mean,
do you want to offer anything else?
I mean,
or is that where we are?
First, we just have to admit, I mean, both of them are oratorically very skilled.
Oh my God.
And they, you know, really competent at both getting out ideas as well as sentiment. I thought that Michelle Obama was extremely effective in sort of painting this picture of Hillary Clinton as the most responsible adult in the room. And also the thing that she's hated for, but could also be turned around as an admirable trait, which is that she just never quits. You're annoyed by her, and you want her to be gone, but that's exactly the reason why she's so good, because she never quits. And then that real segue into sort of connecting to her as a mother whose children you should want to be thinking about. I mean, I think that's a big thing, right? Because the Benghazi thing in the Republican convention was like, do you trust your kids or your soldiers with this woman? And then I think FLOTUS took that on as well. Like, when I think about my children and when I think about the future, Hillary Clinton's the only person that makes sense for that. And I think POTUS also did some element of that in his speech, but I think he did the thing that he normally tries to do, which is try to sort of ground Americans into understanding what the country's actually about, and reminding them Hillary is closer to that, regardless of whatever their challenges are, that, you know, you don't want a ruler. I thought that was a really effective moment in his speech.
Really, Jason, what was your reaction to the Obama's? Like, which speeches did you see from the convention?
Okay, so I didn't see any of them in their entirety, but I heard lots of clips. I think I'm reflecting on what you're saying, Tricia. I agree with all of that. I mean, they were phenomenal, and some of that is because they're great speakers. In some ways, I think it is at the moment and during the convention a benefit that she's running against such a god awful candidate, because she is a better prospective president than he is on every level. So like it has kind of opened the door for there to be a long checklist of reasons why she's better, and it seems to me that the Obamas hit that checklist very, very well. And as you said, I mean, who she is as a person, who she's been in public office, what her agenda is, I mean, it's like, and they just seem to deliver just like phenomenal and impactful speeches in support of her.
I was struck by how diverse the delegates for the Democrats were. It was such a stark difference from what was happening at the Republican National Convention, which did look like some sort of like white supremacy rally, because that's pretty much what it was. Like, there were people of every color and ethnicity and ability in that audience. And at some point I was like, did they do this on purpose? Like, it looked like America. And then that was particularly impactful, listening to Obama talk about America, Barack Obama talk about America, and just the audience that he was delivering it to. It felt more like a convention. It felt like we were trying to elect a president, as opposed to the Republican National Convention, where it was hard. It seemed like they had a lot of difficulty even like agreeing what was going on. Now, the DNC had some of that with the Bernie bros shouting through most of the first and second days. But they were quieted after, I think, Michelle Obama. First of all, no one dared yell over her because I'd come for them. But
that's why they didn't. Hudson is going to come for me. I'm going to shut up now.
They know the deal. So they had their own thing, but, you know, at least Bernie Sanders was there actively trying to corral his followers, as opposed to the Republican National Convention.
Well, he stepped up too, by the way. I mean, that's worth noting. It's worth noting that Bernie kind of really stepped up. And again, I think it's like you've got this other, like, imminent danger. He really stepped up to truly endorse her.
Let's talk about Trisha's boyfriend, Bernie Sanders, for a minute. You know, let's just throw it all out there. And this is about self-preservation. You do understand that if Trump is president, like, Sanders' career is over. Like, a lot of people, things are going to change dramatically, right? So it's definitely in Sanders' best interest to have Hillary Clinton in the White House and to stop all this nonsense, as Sarah Silverman called them out as being ridiculous. It's time to stop all this ridiculousness and pull the party together. Bernie Sanders can continue to have some sort of sway in a Clinton administration. But I mean, is Trump going to order all Democrats lined up and shot? He could. Who knows?
I don't know. Well,
neither do I, Tricia, but that's the point. So, I mean, so Bernie Sanders stepped up, yes, but what choice did he have?
I mean, he could have responded the way the GOP did. I mean, because it was a real power move. I mean, you do still have quite a few Bernie folks. I mean, I know that we are kind of pushing, people are saying that they're now sort of the fringe of the party, the ones who are refusing to go along with Hillary as the party's pick. But I mean, he could have exacerbated that. I mean, he tried. I think he was 60% successful. He looked aggrieved for a good chunk of it. I mean, he wasn't as aggrieved as, say, Susan Sarandon. But
poor salty Susan Sarandon. Hey, Susie. Sorry about it. That's the way the country works.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Jason makes a valid point that, you know, he thought more about people and the party than himself in that moment. And others haven't been doing that this election cycle.
Well, I was going to say, Chris, I disagree with what you're saying, because if you're, well, I guess, I mean, maybe I don't totally disagree. It depends on what someone's self-interest is. But if someone's self-interest, if a Democrat's, or in Bernie's case, a socialist's, self-interest is being in office, Trump is arguably good for you. Because if you, you know, if you're elected by a district that's heavily already in support of you, then Trump being in office is a great thing to campaign on, to be like, you got to reelect me because I got to go stop this guy from getting anything done. I think, I don't know, my read of Sanders was like, he really cares about his principles.
Yeah,
and
well,
while Hillary
right there, that's why. If he cares about the principles, he can't allow Trump to appoint three Supreme Court justices.
No,
like
that's
his,
right.
His
no,
entire philosophy will die if Trump becomes president.
What I really respect about him and about how he performed at the convention is that his self-interest seems to be in truly in his principles and in the policies he cares about, and
not
being in office, more so than being in office.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that was the point I was trying to make, actually. That's why it had come together. So, any final thoughts? Who's going to win the election now, Tricia?
I mean, I think Hillary will win, but it'll be too close to be comfortable.
Jason?
I'm scared to death. I don't know the answer to that question, but I still think he is in a very strong position.
Mm-hmm.
He has surprised us before. And just the last thing I'll say, what worries me is this email scandal that came out at the beginning of the convention. I'm just worried he's gotten more stuff like that up his sleeve. I mean, whether that was him or not, but like,
you mean with Russia and the WikiLeaks folks?
Yeah. What's scary to me?
Assange says he has more Hillary stuff to release.
Yeah, I bet he does. And what scares me is that stuff, when stuff like that comes out about Hillary, it truly hurts her.
Yeah, it does.
More people don't trust her. When that stuff comes out about Trump, it doesn't hurt him. And so what worries me is that I feel like she is the vulnerable one right now. They are still relatively close in the polls. I'm quite frightened because I just worry that there's a lot that could continue to hurt her, and nothing seems to hurt him.
And if that's not white male supremacy in clear crystal color, I don't even know what is.
It's true.
It would not be outrageous if we did not name check white supremacy. I'm gonna make a mini recommendation. I have been checking 538.com every single day, looking at these poll numbers. I've never been this interested in polls. It's devastating. You should definitely check it out. They have a presidential tracker. And it's interesting to note that you look at the chart of Hillary Clinton, that she was killing Trump in the polls by like 20, 25 points until around July 11th. When that dipped by about 15 points and Trump went up 15 points, I looked back in the news to see what happened that weekend. That was the weekend Bernie conceded. So, Tricia, to your point and to your past topic, it seems like a lot of people were like, what? Bernie's out? Well, we're going for Trump,
which ultimately reveals to you, they're not there for Brandon's universe. They were there because they hated Hillary all along.
Yeah.
And maybe just hated vagina. I don't think they hate vaginas. I mean,
no,
I think
a lot of them
vaginas
are women too.
Certain...
We have to be honest. A lot of them are women.
Listen, a lot of women hate themselves and hate the
true.
Idea of women. Yeah, I mean, in leadership roles, they're like, I know myself as a woman, and I never know. I mean, she's beyond menopause.
Gays. We didn't even talk about the gays for Trump thing that happened. We're out of time
for
this.
Oh, I didn't know. There's a gays
Holy
for Trump
shit.
Thing? I didn't even know that.
You Google it. The gays for Trump. I think Gawker did an article about it. It was somehow all about radical Islam. But anyway, go check it out. It was
I didn't know that gays cared about Islam.
I mean,
that sounds really facetious of me, but really, I did not know that was the issue that you were
making. That's my second mini media recommendation. Google the gays for Trump, Gawker, RNC, and just read about the madness.
It takes all sorts. It really does. It takes all sorts.
All right, guys. Well, cool. Thanks for having the discussion. And listeners, we'll check in with you next week with our regular episode. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.